Hey,
just in time.
Hello, John. We were just talking about you.
Johnny Denver.
Good to see you.
You too.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Look who joined us here. Just came in the door.
You know, you're always welcome here, so just come on in. Thank you.
Of course, you're talking about John Nichol.
Yes.
John T. Nichol.
Yeah.
I've interviewed him for Voices of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
Well, first of all, we're best friends. We met in grade school and actually become friends in junior high school. Alice Robinson, junior high school.
That's correct. And we had a mutual friend that had the same kind of interest that Dave and I did. He moved over onto the side of town Dave was living on, and I didn't know Dave, but this guy and I were real tight. So he said, I've met somebody that I want you to meet. We met, and we had so much in common that we just immediately became friends. I was fishing all the time, but I was fishing rod and reel, not fly fishing. But Dave had already taken up fly fishing. I'd heard of it, but I never had done it. And he taught me how to do it when I was 12 years old.
Yeah, but John, that wasn't much teaching because I knew very little about fly fishing other than the fact that I owned a fly rod. Bless his heart, he didn't get much teaching at that point.
The other thing he did for me that I'll never forget, he took me into where he ties flies, and he bought me a little fly-tying vise.
Yeah.
And taught me how to tie flies, and I thought that was pretty special.
Yeah.
Now, once I learned how to do that, Dave and I were partners at chasing chickens and guineas trying to get feathers off of them.
Yeah. Well, in those days, in Muskogee, everybody had chickens or cows in their backyard. Remember that, John?
Oh, yeah, right.
So we'd walk the alleys because there's always alleys. You know, each block had an alley going down it.
Yep.
We'd walk along and watch for these chickens or guineas. We'd spot them. We'd come back that night and get them out of the coop and pull some feathers off of them and then put them back in the pen. It's a wonder we hadn't gotten
feather
shot. It's a wonder we hadn't gotten shot.
Oh, I know.
Then you did eventually go your own way.
Oh, yeah. After high school, we didn't see each other for, I bet, oh, he went one way and I went the other.
Yeah. Remember, I saw you on an airplane a time or two.
Yeah, I did see him on an airplane a couple of times.
I could think of, boy, he grew up to be a good-looking guy.
Well, Dave's always been exaggerating about me. Anyway,
right.
Thank you, Dave.
There's a story here, those of you listening. Why are we all sitting here on this same property in this ranch? John, you tell us how you reconnected with Dave.
Dave was living over on the White River in Arkansas at a mountain home, and he was teaching fly fishing, which he had decided to make his life's work about. Once in a while, I would see an ad in a magazine or a paper or something. It said, Day with Dave. My wife saw that and showed it to me, and I said, well, I know Dave Whitlock pretty well, but I haven't seen him in a long time. So she bought me a day with Dave. Actually, she bought me 2 days with Dave. Went over, reconnected, and I don't know how many years that was after we graduated from high school, but it had to be, what, 35 years?
Yeah, more like 40.
Maybe 40
years. Like 40 years.
Yeah. So we reconnected and just took up right where we left off.
Yeah. We're not chasing chickens anymore. We buy the feathers now.
Yeah, there has been a little change there.
Right. All right. So then you're in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Then your life, of course, takes off for you.
Yes.
With the Greenleaf Nursery.
Yeah, and that's where I went when Dave went to Northeastern. Actually, I don't know if Dave told you, but he was a chemist and worked for an oil company in Bartlesville.
Right. You established Greenleaf Nursery.
Yes.
Then there was a favorite place you used to come down here and look at.
Yes. I had wandered across the country on gravel roads in my pickup one day when I needed to get away from the nursery. I was maybe in my mid-20s, and I came up over a hill, and I saw a place that just rattled me. And I said, if I could ever own a place like that, that would be my earth home.
Yeah.
Well, it took me a long time before I got to do that, but I kept track of it. I was in California or Colorado, maybe both at the time, found out that it was for sale, and so I packed my bag and came back to Oklahoma and bought the place.
Yeah. You had Greenleaf Nursery that made you enormously successful.
Yeah.
Then your brother asked you to come out to California to join him in the wine business.
Correct.
Which you knew nothing about, I believe.
Nothing about it. Neither did he. But
right.
He got fascinated with it, so he went over to the University of California, Davis, which is probably the winemaking and viticultural school in maybe the world. And he didn't go for a degree. He went to learn. So he commuted from San Francisco, where his home was at that time, back and forth, and he got enough knowledge that he decided to make a barrel of wine at his house. Turned out real good. He won a bronze medal on it in the county fair, and he said, well, I'm on my way. I'm going to start making wine commercially. So he called me, and he said, I want you to join me in this wine business. And that's when I told him. I said, I don't know anything about wine.
Well, it turned out, though, didn't it?
It worked out.
God. And what name did he choose for it?
Well, we were going to call it Nob Hill Cellars because the house where he was living was on Nob Hill in San Francisco. We had a label designed, and we were going to make it Nob Hill Cellars. We had actually made this first wine that we made together in Sausalito in a rented warehouse space. But we looked at each other one day and said, now that we have the old building called Farniente, why don't we name it Farniente? So at that time, we chunked the original label, created a new label, and we were on our way. And then our first wine, as luck would have it, came out as a big hit. And we got a lot of free press about it. It's been successful ever since.
Yeah.
Really successful. It's one of the great wines of the country.
Well, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you can say Farniente to any of them.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that it's a class wine.
Yes.
And that was the idea, is to make a world-class wine. It was my brother Gil's baby. The nursery was my baby, but we were each involved with each other in the business together.
And then, unfortunately, he died, and some of this you've talked about in your interview for VoicesOfOklahoma.com.
Yes.
You did come back, and you bought all this acreage. How much did you buy?
I think there was about 2,500 acres when I came back to capture the place that I had long desired to own.
That had to be a thrill when that...
It was a big thrill.
On closing day, huh? That was yours.
It was great.
But then, you weren't satisfied with just that acreage.
No.
There was more. That was as far as the eye could see, right?
That's correct. Yeah. It's another one of my dream pieces of property. I love land and I love property and I love the beauty of nature. So this other piece of land also came up for sale the same year. And I was fortunate enough to get both of those pieces of land the same year, one of which I have given to the Nature Conservancy as a wildlife and nature preserve. And the other one is where my ranch home is today.
Yeah, and the name of the preserve is?
It's called the J.T. Nickel Family Nature and Wildlife Preserve.
And what a donation that is. How many thousands of acres is that?
I think it was 14,000 when I gave it to them.
It's more than that now, isn't it, John?
It's more than that now. They have added to it. I think it's up to about 17,000.
That's a great story. And then you were able to entice Dave.
Yep. Well, when I bought into the ranch here, the one that I first told you about was the one I wanted all that time. It was a long time before I ever got it, but it was on my mind and I kept track of what was happening with it. And then when I finally bought in, I bought in to half partnership with the man who also was involved in the ranch, but he had fallen on bad times. So he had to sell, and he wanted to remain partners. Well, I agreed to that, except I didn't want to be a partner with anybody in my home place. But the rest of the ranch and the cattle and the equipment, that was okay. So anyway, he and I formed a partnership called Caney Creek Ranch. We ranched it for a number of years, and then Dennis, my partner, died. He had four sons in California. And it wound up what Dennis had left them, they sold to me. And so now I had the whole ranch, and I had a beautiful home that Dennis lived in that I wasn't sure what I was going to do with other than I really thought a lot of it, and I didn't want to sell it. And that's when I had reconnected with Dave, and I invited he and his wife over to spend the night in the place. I didn't tell him I had an ulterior motive, but they loved it. And thank goodness they did, because they're still here, and it's just far, far superior to what it was when they moved here.
How long has that been now?
I think it's about 12 years.
Yeah, 12 years.
What a great story.
It seems
that
like
is.
About 12 days. It's gone so wonderfully fast.
And then that's when you created the trout stream you talked about.
Yeah.
And John had that in his head, too. Yeah. He wanted to have it done.
It was Dave's idea to do it. And I said, well, yeah, that's perfect. Let's do it.
Yeah. It took us about a year to get it completed. We just took a cattle watering stream and turned it into a beautiful 12 waterfall landscape with trout in it. It's just so pretty to walk along and be on.
I know how grateful both of you are for many things. You're both now about 85. You still have your health. And you talked about how grateful you are because not everybody at 85 can do the things you two guys are doing.
No.
And then I didn't mention this. The fact that you have a friendship that's gone back all these years and is still vibrant and alive.
Oh, yeah.
And is not distant, but gets closer all the time, probably.
Probably does, yes. Yeah. Definitely does.
Yeah. We're blessed to have each other.
Yeah, that's great. I'm envious of both of you. Yeah. I really am. Well, John, thanks for popping in here.
You bet, John.
We're going to continue talking with Mr. Dave, and I'm glad that you could be part of this. It's almost funny. We're asking him to come in on his ranch.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. This is Dave's part of my ranch.
Right. All right. All right. Very good. You can stay, or you probably want to go outside. You're going outside? And then I'll catch up with you.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, perfect.